Today we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, Chapter 17, entitled The Lord Travels to Vrindavan, Text 184. Prabhu kahe shruti smriti yata rishi gana.
Prabhu kahe shruti smriti yata rishi gana.
Sabe eka mata nahi bina bina dharma. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "The Vedas, Puranas, and great learned sages are not always in agreement with one another. Consequently, there are different religious principles." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Unless one comes to the absolute truth, there is no possibility of agreement. Nasa vrishir yasya matam na bhinnam. It is said that a great learned scholar or sage cannot be exalted unless he disagrees. On the material platform, there is no possibility of agreement. Therefore, there are different kinds of religious systems. However, the absolute truth is one, and when one is situated in the absolute truth, there is no disagreement. On that absolute platform, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipable. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktyamam abhijananti yavan yas chasmi tatpataha. On the absolute platform, the worshipful deity is one, and the process of worship is also one. That process is bhakti. There are many different religions throughout the world because they are not all on the absolute platform of devotional service. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarva dharman parityajamam ekam sharanam vraja. The word ekam means one, Krishna. On this platform, there are no different religious systems. According to Srimad Bhagavatam 1:1:2, Dharma prochita kaitavatra. On the material platform, religious systems are different. Srimad Bhagavatam describes them from the very beginning as dharma kaitava, cheating religions. None of these religions are actually genuine. The genuine religious system is that which enables one to become a lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the words of Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:6, Savai pumsam paro dharmo, Yato bhaktir ahuksajai, ohoituki apratihata, yayatma supersedati. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. On this platform, there is nothing but service of the Lord. When a person has no ulterior motive, there is certainly oneness and agreement of principles. Since everyone has a different body and mind, different types of religions are needed. But when one is situated on the spiritual platform, there are no bodily and mental differences. Consequently, on the absolute platform, there is oneness in religion. Om agena tamarandasya gananjana salakaya chaksur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha pancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So the translation again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "The Vedas, Puranas, and great learned sages are not always in agreement with one another. Consequently, there are different religious principles." So here, as we've been reading, the Lord is traveling to the western part of India, and he's come to Mathura. And in Mathura, he went to the Keshava temple. And he was so inspired by the beauty of the Keshava deity that he danced in ecstasy. And he was joined by a Sanodiya Brahmana, who also danced in ecstasy. Such ecstasy that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was curious where it had come from. So after they had danced and chanted for some time, the Lord took this Brahmin to a secluded place and asked him, wherefrom these ecstatic symptoms of his had come. And the Brahmin revealed to the Lord that years before, Srila Madhavendra Puri had come to that area, and he had actually come to this Brahmin's house. And the Brahmin had been initiated by Srila Madhavendra Puri. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, his own spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, was Ishvara Puri, and Ishvara Puri's spiritual master is Srila Madhavendra Puri. So Srila Madhavendra Puri is the Param Guru of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I'm hearing that this Sandodhya Brahmin was a disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu threw himself at the feet of this Brahmin. And the Brahmin, understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead was there, immediately threw himself at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. So he had a very touching scene. And then the Brahmin, because he was this Sanodiya Brahmin, we know there are four divisions, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, but within each division, there are also divisions. And this particular division, Sanodiya, is considered a low-class Brahmin because they're the priests of low-class Vaishyas, Vaishyas who take wine and other intoxicants. So the priests of these low-class people were considered themselves low-class. So, therefore, by this very complex class system that had arisen in India at this time, this particular Brahmin was considered unfit to cook for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a sannyasi of the highest order. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that since Madhavendra Puri had taken prasad at the house of this Brahmin, he would follow suit. He said, as the great men do, so the common men follow. Whatever standard they set by their exemplary acts, all the world pursues. A verse from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Chaitanya said, I will take also prasad at your house. The Brahmin replied to the Lord, we read this verse last week, it is a great fortune for me to offer you food. You are the Supreme Lord, and being in the transcendental position, you are not restricted in any way. The Lord transcends this caste system. Then the Brahmin said, foolish people will blaspheme you, but I shall not tolerate the words of such mischievous people. So it's in response to this statement by the Sanodiya Brahmana that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the Vedas, Puranas, and great learned sages are not always in agreement. Consequently, there are different religious principles. So one way to understand these disagreements and controversies and contradictions is to start by this wonderful verse in Bhagavad Gita, Maimai Vamso Jivaloke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Manasastan Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. So in this verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is saying that the jivas, the living entities, which is all of us, are amsa, his parts. Mamai vamsa, they're certainly his parts. But these jivas are bhuta, they're conditioned, jiva bhuta. They're eternal, sanatana, but they're conditioned at this present time. They're conditioned by prakriti, the material nature. And therefore, karshati, they're struggling very hard. Struggling with what? Struggling with their mind and their senses. It's considered five senses in the mind, six. So therefore, mana shastan indriyani. So the conditioned souls are struggling very hard with the mind and the senses in this material world. And we can understand that covering, it's also described in Bhagavad Gita, that is composed of the modes of nature, goodness and passion and ignorance. This makes the living entity struggle. Actually, the living entity is part of Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Gopinath. We learn from Nectar of Devotion by Srila Rupa Goswami that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is complete in 64 transcendental qualities, and each one is described. And the living entity, the jiva, as part of the Lord, has 50 of those qualities in part. So the jiva is something extraordinary. Some of those qualities, for instance, is beautiful, youthful, shy, expert, humble, forgiving, forbearing, clever, intelligent, a genius, perfect judge of time, place, and circumstance. Prabhupada writes that this bestial civilization, composed of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, has made us, the jivatmas, forget our actual identity. But actually, the jivatma is many times more dazzling than the sun and the moon and electricity. Each of us is the jivatma, and we are, as jivatma, more dazzling, many times more dazzling than the sun. And we have these 50 extraordinary transcendental qualities in part, but we're covered by goodness and passion and ignorance. So in goodness, the highest of the three modes, the living entity becomes attracted and attached to knowledge and feels some sense of happiness, material happiness. In passion, covered by passion, the living entity is full of hankering and lamenting, restless, striving for some material objective with great excitement, becomes frustrated when foiled in their attempt. And then in ignorance, one is sleepy and ignorant and apathetic and procrastinating and mad, lazy. So these different modes don't appear purely, but they're mixed together. It's described just like there are three primary colors, right? Yellow, red, and blue. And they're mixed. You rarely see them in their pure state. But they mix and they make innumerable variations that we see all around us. So similarly, these three modes are rarely found in their pure state, but they're mixed together in innumerable combinations, and therefore we experience them from day to day and sometimes from minute to minute differently. Sometimes we feel very lazy, sometimes we're very excited and want some material object. Other times we feel more renounced and distant. So in this way the modes go on. And also Krishna describes, when Arjuna asks him in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, why there are different religions, the Lord explains, it's because of these modes of nature. The modes of nature cover the heart, and accordingly the living entity finds shelter in one religion or another. And sometimes they give up one religion and go to another religion according to their own proclivities. So this is going on, and it's the explanation of why there are different religious principles. There's also a very relevant verse in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In that canto, Daksha is trying to procreate, and it's not working out well. He has problems. So he actually leaves and decides to meditate on a hill, and he offers some prayers called the Hamsaguya prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He didn't make them up. They were already existent in the Vedas. But in one of those prayers, he says that the Supreme Lord is in the core of the heart of all philosophers who create varieties of philosophies. And that Supreme Lord sitting there induces those philosophers to forget their own souls while they agree and disagree with one another. And by the Supreme Lord's arrangement, those philosophers cannot come to any conclusion. So in other words, everything is acting and moving according to the supreme direction of Krishna. I could try to say that verse once more. It's such an amazing verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is sitting in the core of the heart of all philosophers who come up with different philosophies. And by the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those philosophers forget their own souls while they sometimes agree with one another and sometimes disagree with one another. And they cannot come to any conclusion by the influence of the Supreme Lord, his arrangement. So the devotees are free of this because, as Prabhupada says here, the devotees have come to the absolute truth. as he says in the Bhagavad Gita, there is one absolute truth, Krishna. And devotees accept that, and therefore there is no basis for disagreement. Whereas the philosophers are interested, as it's Prabhupada says here, this verse, Nasavrishir Yasya Matam Nabinnam. That means that these great learned scholars cannot be exalted unless they disagree with the other great learned scholars. So why is that? That is the modes of nature acting. That in the mode of passion, one person wants to become more prominent than the next person. So the philosophers, influenced by this mode of passion, simply want to dominate other philosophers, and therefore there's these disagreements. It's a very unfortunate, confusing situation, and we're surrounded by it in the material world. Prabhupada is very kindly illuminating the situation, this aspect of the difficulty. So one could say, well, that's all very well and good, but what about devotees who disagree? Or controversies amongst devotees or apparent contradictions? So one way to understand it is that these contradictions are indeed only apparent. Just like we pray to Lord Damodar how he's running in fear of the stick of Mother Yashoda. But then we also say that fear personified is afraid of the Lord. So that appears like a contradiction. Here you have fear personified, afraid of the Lord, and the Lord is running from Mother Yasoda's stick. So we know that this is resolved because Krishna has different features. In his universal feature, living entities are caught, trapped in his sharp teeth, and he devastates all, and he comes as death, and he's all pervasive. So even fear would be afraid of that form of the Lord. But when his devotee comes, imbued with love, then to reciprocate with the love of his devotees, the Lord will run from the stick the devotee, Mother Yasoda, holds. So in that way, many contradictions can be resolved, just like, for instance, as another contradiction, that some of the acharyas say that Lord Ramchandra and his three brothers are Vasudev, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, like that, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. But other acharyas say, no, Lord Ramachandra and his three brothers are Narayan, and Sesha, and Chakra, and Sankha. So how is that resolved? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur resolves that. He says, in some incarnations, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ram, comes, and he is Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, he and his brothers. Other incarnations, the Lord comes, and in those incarnations, he's Narayan, and Sesha, and Chakra, and Sankha. So in that way, the acharyas are able to resolve these apparent contradictions. Prabhupada also often would mention the contradiction that we understand that the stool of an animal is impure, and after we pass stool, we bathe. If we should touch stool, we bathe. And yet we understand also from the Vedas that cow dung is completely pure, so there's a contradiction. But if we simply accept the Vedas, then we can study and see that cow dung has all antiseptic properties. And actually it can cleanse a place and purify it with cow dung, something so extraordinary. So in that way, some contradictions can be resolved. They're only apparent. But there are other times devotees disagree and you can't find any apparency there. It seems like a plain old disagreement. So Prabhupada had, of course, to deal with that while he was amongst us. And he said that the devotees are like a family. And in any family, there'll be disagreements. That's natural. It's to be expected. However, you don't give up the family, at least a healthy family. The members don't give up. They work it out. And they understand that the principle is they want to have a strong family. And so perhaps they bend their opinions or bend their position for the strength of the family. And one example of that, we could say, a transcendental example, that Krishna's first son, Pradyumna, he was very subordinate to his father, Lord Sri Krishna. He took a position of awe and reverence. So if there was some activity that Pradyumna thought was nectarian, but Krishna said no, it was like poison, immediately Pradyumna would think, no, that activity is like poison. And similarly, if there was some activity that Pradyumna thought was like poison and Krishna said it's nectarian, Pradyumna would immediately change his position and say, yes, it is nectarian. So that is actually the position of the disciple before the spiritual master, that the disciple relinquishes his or her own opinions and becomes subordinate to the decision and the direction of this bona fide spiritual master. And the spiritual master, of course, is sensitive to the psychophysical condition of the disciple and does not request or demand more than the disciple can give, but may push also. Prabhupada certainly pushed when he understood the disciple could receive that push and respond to it favorably. So that's another way that disagreements can be resolved successfully. And also, Prabhupada requested us that we should find unity in diversity. That in the material world, there's variegatedness and there's no unity. They don't have a common platform. But in the spiritual world, there's variegatedness and there is a common platform, Krishna, and Krishna's service, and Krishna's book, Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna's Maha Mantra, and Krishna's eternal occupational service, bhakti. So there is this common platform. And within that, there can be tremendous diversity. And simply it's up to us to use our individual genius to find the unity within that diversity, and in that way work together to glorify the Lord and his devotees. I had an experience in Sharanagati that there were two very good devotees there. Actually, the both of them were very old Prabhupada disciples, and they had a great disagreement to the point they didn't want to be in each other's company. So we had a mediation session, and the way it worked was that each one of those two devotees was able to speak his understanding fully, and each one spoke with reference to the Shastra. And then the other devotee would simply hear, and when that devotee had finished speaking, they would ask questions just for clarification. Then the other devotee would speak, also quoting Shastra, and then again there was questions. And this went on until they both felt that their position had been fully heard. And then they looked for common ground in their position, and lo and behold, there was some common ground. And they were able to come to an agreement. It was actually miraculous. Not that they became best friends, but there was a platform of agreement. And from that platform, there was, on both parts of both devotees, they felt great relief and happiness, because, of course, they didn't want to hold animosity or have differences amongst them. So it is possible, even in extreme circumstances, to find unity and diversity, and it's up to us to make the attempt to do that. And one last point. Oh, my goodness. Sorry. One last point is that it's also up to us to absorb ourselves in Srila Prabhupada's books, because then when disagreements and controversies and contradictions come, as they will always in this material world, if we are absorbed in Prabhupada's books and we study them regularly and read them all, starting from the most basic all the way up to the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita and then starting over again, then when these things happen, the disagreements and controversies happen, we will not be bewildered and we will be able to perhaps help find the unity and the diversity. So I'm very sorry, I didn't have a watch and I spoke too long. My apologies. So perhaps, I don't know if we have time. Should we stop here? Oh, okay. So perhaps we have 5 minutes for some comments. Oh, okay. One devotee wanted to develop Sharanagati by bringing in water from a distant place, which meant a lot of heavy machinery, and it would be then become a farm community, which would require tractors and other heavy machinery. And this other devotee, quoting Prabhupada again, you know, that we should utilize the land. The other devotee felt that we should not become involved with this tremendous expense and that we should just make do with small gardens and be happy, you know, rural simplicity. That was basically the disagreement. The common ground was that so long as the devotees didn't go into debt or get overwhelmed by anxiety, but it became a natural process, then it could unfold as it would. But the idea of, you know, taking out loans from banks and like that was not, both agreed that was acceptable. Thank you so much for your attention. All glories to His divine grace. Hare Krishna.